Despite two fourth quarter interceptions, Justin Fields looked like he took another step forward as a passer in the Chicago Bears' loss to the Green Bay Packers.
You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter, at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, at LockedOnBears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook. Join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. Thanks for making the Locked On Bears podcast your first listen today and hopefully every single day. Today's episode of Locked On Bears is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money back on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with our promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code locked on. On the show today, we go back through this Chicago Bears loss to the Green Bay Packers in what was an exciting back-and-forth game that ultimately ended like so many Bears-Packers games have, and how so many games this season have for the Chicago Bears. Right in it, in the fourth quarter, even with a lead, on the later end of this game, an opportunity for Justin Fields to drive down and try and win this game, an opportunity for the defense to make a big stop when the team needs it, and across the roster, coming up short once again. And that's the big takeaway here, is everyone will point to Justin Fields didn't give the Bears the victory at the end, but there was a lot more that goes into securing a victory at the end than just what number one does under center. And I think beyond that, beyond the outcome of the game, because we know how the outcome of these games are going to go for your Chicago Bears, it was a really solid game passing from Justin Fields. It felt like tangible growth, steps forward. Not a giant leap. You know, this is one small step for Fields, one giant leap for mankind. You know, not quite humongous, but really important progress. Coming off of a missed game due to injury, still dealing with the lingering left shoulder injury that he didn't even take a pain-killing shot for before the game. Just kind of said, I'm going to tough it out. And otherwise, you know, battled through just fine. That was sort of the first thing I was watching for live. You know, on that first drive, he had sort of not a dive forward, but a running play where he did extend forward. And I was, you know, you're kind of like cringing a little bit, or, you know, catching your breath or gasping or whatever it might be. And even on that same, I think it was before that, the quarterback sneak, right? Where I think Velus Jones was the one who gets behind him and tries to push him through for a first down. It's just like all of that quarterback contact on those plays. You're just like, oh, you know, it just, you worry just a little bit there, because otherwise he wasn't sacked in this game. I don't remember on first watch some kind of massive quarterback hit after letting go of the ball. It's possible that there were one or two in there. As I look on the defensive stat sheet for the official NFL stat sheet, had them with two quarterback hits, but I don't remember either of them being particularly vicious. So there wasn't a lot of those moments of, like, you know, worried about Justin Fields' re-injury there. But I was surprised then how well he played through that. Some of the throws that he made in this game were very impressive. Not only the downfield bomb to Equanimeous St. Brown, or the one that followed to N'Keal Harry, you know, opening things up more in the vertical passing game, but even some of the shorter things he did, it felt perhaps the most comfortable and in rhythm we've seen Justin Fields as a passer, maybe in his career up to this point. Like, there was a point in this fourth quarter before the first interception, which we'll talk about in a moment here. Before his first interception, the very play, when that play started, he was 16 of 19 for 224 yards. Like, that's as efficient and productive and solid of a passing stat line we've seen from Justin Fields. We've seen this season that quarterback stat lines, especially in the passing game, are not going to be the best way to evaluate Justin Fields. But that's a, what, like 85-ish? I don't know the math on that, but 85-ish percent completion percentage for almost or more than 10 yards per pass attempt. I mean, that's high-level quarterback stat sheet in addition to the eye test and what you see from him in terms of, you know, knowing when to check down and when to take those shots downfield, being highly accurate on, again, 16 of 19 throws. He had missed three passes up to that point and only missed five in the game. He only had five incomplete passes, 20 of 25. And it felt like there were more of those plays where the pocket breaks down or the play gets extended and he's scrambling a little bit, but he's not switching to quarterback run mode so quickly. It felt Rodgers-like on some of those plays when he's running towards the line of scrimmage but stops and delivers the throw to a wide-open Cole Kmet on the left sideline who gets 16, right? Or like plays like that where he's scrambling but stops short of the line of scrimmage and finds an open receiver because the scrambling created that and not just on a rollout type play. But it really was this sort of like creating something with his legs to create something with his arm. And how that came together was really, I think, as effective as you had hoped from a guy like Justin Fields that represented really good progress from him. The first interception, I don't look at being particularly Justin Fields' fault. He lets go of that ball and it's up to the receiver to go get it and the defensive back to also try and go get it. Equanimee St. Brown ran a terrible route. The defensive back also read it really well, but the wide receiver did nothing to help Fields there. And I don't, when that ball leaves Justin's hands, it's not an interception. It's an interception at the end, but when it leaves his hands, it's going to Equanimee St. Brown, and it's a lot more on St. Brown, and I'm glad the broadcast pointed that out pretty clearly. Second interception was late. He needed to get that ball over there quicker, put it more on a rope, too much air under it, got rid of it too late. Dante Pettis also stood there and was waiting for the ball to come to him as opposed to attacking it in the air, but I'm perfectly willing to blame interception number two on Justin Fields. Totally fair. Not a great throw from him. He'd also driven them all the way down into the red zone or near the red zone when that interception was thrown. He had done a lot of good things before that pass, but that's a mistake. The receiver was open. He was open earlier in the play. Needs to put the ball there 100%. But that one pass, and even if you want to count both interceptions, those two passes to me do not overshadow the 20 other completions he had in the game. That was as good of a passing performance as we've seen from Justin Fields. It maybe felt like a little bit of defensive progress, at least in the first half or the first three quarters, but some real major breakdowns there at the end. We'll kind of look at what worked against Aaron Rodgers and what didn't for this Bears defense next on Locked On Bears. Today's episode of Locked On Bears is brought to you by our friends at Total Wine and More. This holiday, find what you love at Total Wine and More. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite single barrel bourbon or the perfect gifts for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide. And all with the confidence of knowing you found something special for the lowest price. You'll love what you find only at Total Wine and More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21. Locked On Bears podcast also brought to you by our friends at Simply Safe. Here at Locked On Bears, we believe home should be where you and your family feel the safest, especially over the holidays. So this season, give yourself and your family the gift of peace and protection with the number one rated home security system, Simply Safe. And right now, Simply Safe is offering Locked On Bears listeners 40% off a new home security system. Don't put this off. SimpliSafe has been named the best home security system of 2022 by U.S. News and World Report. And not just for this year, it's the third year in a row because they have 24/7 professional monitoring agents that use their proprietary Fast Protect technology that captures critical evidence and verifies that a threat is real so you can get the highest priority police response. Don't miss your chance to save big on the best home security system available. Get 40% off any new system at simplisafe.com/lockedonNFL today. That's simplisafe.com/lockedonNFL. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. This Bears defense impressed me more than I thought we would see against the Green Bay Packers. Because we've seen for, what has it been, 15 years, 14 years, more than a decade of Aaron Rodgers coming to town and slicing and dicing this group up, even when the Bears have had good defenses or pretty good defenses. And when you start this game with no Eddie Jackson, no Jaquan Brisker, no Kyler Gordon, no Kendall Vildor, those four not all created equal, but still missing four of your five starters in the secondary, that's not going to bode well for against any quarterback. I mean, we saw Mike White last week from the New York Jets have a pretty big day against this group. And, you know, the linebackers are, and front four are included in that conversation. But still, entering this game, there was good reason to brace for another one of those big-time Aaron Rodgers games. And yet, if you had told me they'd keep him to, you know, 18 of 31 for 182 yards and a touchdown, about an 85 passer rating, his longest pass went for 21 yards. All in all, that doesn't, on its surface, seem like a totally bad day at the office. I mean, they did a lot of things to make life difficult on Aaron Rodgers. Now, the Packers scored 18 points in the fourth quarter, and that's why your Bears lost. They still gave up 28 points as a defense. Two interceptions, well, I guess one interception contributed to some of that. But I felt like for at least the first three quarters, right, when it's 19-10 Bears, 10 points in the first half, all in the second quarter, I was impressed because of how low the bar was for this Bears defense. They were taking away some of the things we had talked about on Friday's game plan podcast. Take away some of those immediate quick throws at the line of scrimmage and then get deep, right? And so they forced Aaron Rodgers to hold onto the ball a little bit longer and often end up checking down to the running back underneath, you know, the tight end in the flat there. And to the Bears' credit, they stepped up and did really well tackling after the catch. We saw, I think the number was 17 missed tackles against the New York Jets the week before. Haven't seen a number yet on this game, having just watched it one time through live. But it felt significantly better in the tackling department for at least the first three quarters. The fourth quarter is when things really fell apart. But despite not having those guys in the secondary and still not much of an overall pass rush on its own, they did better for those first three plays. Like being able to take away that quick first read from Aaron Rodgers gives then the pass rush more time. I thought the secondary, despite having two undrafted rookie free agents out there and a rookie seventh round pick, Elijah Hicks at safety, the seventh round pick, and then Jalen Jones and Blackwell, the slot cornerback. Those guys did an admirable job for being really thrown in the fire against Aaron Rodgers and a weak Green Bay receiving corps, but it's still Aaron Rodgers. It's not prime Aaron Rodgers anymore. He made some really just poor, inaccurate throws and some weird decisions with his throws that he's just, something is, I mean, he's got a broken thumb. I'm willing to pin a lot of it on that when it's all said and done. But still, like, there was some just like Aaron Rodgers not being very good in this game that helped the defense at times. But they also seemed to be pretty stout against the run through the first, again, three quarters, we'll say, more or less. Like at halftime, the Packers had about 65 yards rushing. They were averaging about 4 yards a carry. You weren't getting the big breakaway runs, and they made some nice run stops in there. Aaron Jones was averaging 3 yards a carry. Dylan had a couple of other, you know, more physical running game plays, but it just felt like that slowly wore down in the second half and into the fourth quarter where things just started getting more and more sloppy. I think you saw more missed tackles in that fourth quarter and less of just guys finding ways to be in the right place at the right time. It felt like the young guys were stepping up and figuring things out in that first half and into the third quarter. But by the fourth quarter, maybe Rodgers and LaFleur and this Packers offense, I don't know if it started figuring it out. I mean, it's hard to, without going through the All-22 film, what exactly went differently for this Packers offense. But it just felt sloppier from the Bears at that point. You know, guys not getting off blocks as well and not wrapping up. You know, I think back to that game, right? We saw in the first half, Sanborn two or three times, right? There was a tunnel screen to Aaron Jones on the third down where he just knifed around a block and made the immediate tackle for like no gain after the catch. Or there was a play where I think it was DeAndre Houston Carson on a running play knifed into the backfield and brought down Aaron Jones on a tackle for loss. And it's like they're tackling, you know, the Packers' best, some of the Packers' best weapons immediately on that first contact. You're not giving up those extra yards after you get there, or even worse, bouncing off of him and forcing a second or a third defender to have to be the one that comes over and tackles him. Like, it just was like these young guys are energized and stepping up and making plays, and maybe the Packers underestimated them at that time or overlooked them or thought like, oh, well, I can break this tackle, or, oh, I can beat him with this route, and couldn't. And had to adjust that over the course of the game, maybe having to give some of these younger Bears players some more props than they might have otherwise, you know, entering the matchup. When you look on paper and see, you know, three undrafted free agents playing significant snaps in this Bears defense, plus a seventh-round pick at safety starting, and a fifth-round pick at the defensive end, getting a significant portion of the snaps there. I do want to give the Bears pass rush some credit in that when the Bears secondary made Rodgers hold on to the ball, there was a lot of hustle, there was a lot of effort, and guys kept fighting. Rarely did you see a pass rusher win with his first pass rush move at the line of scrimmage. Like, they weren't individually like beating the offensive lineman as you might measure a pass rush win, but they kept fighting through, and that when Rodgers would hold the ball, they at least were able to get some pressure that way and not just let him sit back there clean in the pocket for 8 seconds. He'd get the first 3 or 4 seconds to himself, which is not good enough pass rush, but it's getting there. But it's weird that breaks down in the second half. Like on the Christian Watson jet sweep handoff that goes for a touchdown, and he just like, you know, is one guy's there to chase him. The Packers had been running that all game. Every handoff had a jet sweep in one direction and a handoff in the other direction. And they had run that same jet sweep a couple of times, and they had handed it off a couple of times. Like, that same play design in either direction happened 4, 5, 6 times in the game. You know, just having watched it one time through and sort of counting, not actually counting, but just anecdotally, felt like you saw that motion on running plays a lot in this game. So why all of a sudden late in the fourth quarter do they completely just not pay attention to Christian Watson? I mean, you see the safety Elijah Hicks is the single deep guy, and he completely follows the running back for 5 seconds before he realizes Watson has the ball, and Watson's already passed him like downfield. There was one guy to chase Watson, and of course he's one of the fastest players on the field. That's not going to go well for your defense. So why all of a sudden late in the game does everybody lose their discipline in that moment when they had been doing so well with that through the first few quarters? I don't have a good answer, and I'm hoping that the All-22 film is able to answer it. But it pieces together this theme that the Bears have been in for the last 5, 6 games, and even for a lot of the season. They're winning for a large portion of the game. They're playing well. They have an opportunity late in the game to potentially win, and they can't. And we'll kind of look bigger picture at what's going on here, and whether we should be concerned, or whether it matters, and why, and what we should take away from the game sort of playing out like this over and over again, next on Locked On Bears. The Locked On Bears podcast is brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the better way to do daily fantasy sports, because with Prize Picks, they put you in complete control. It's you versus the house. With other daily fantasy sports, your lineup is going to be dependent on other people's lineups, right? You're trying to have, and if other people have better lineups, then you're out of luck, and it's not anything that you can control. You know, you don't have power over what other lineups are that end up winning these matchups. But Prize Picks, it's all about you. You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they'll score more or less than their Prize Picks projections, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. That includes your Bears games, but across all the sports, Prize Picks makes it super easy to enter in literally 60 seconds or less. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with our promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100 bonus. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you an extra $50. Just don't forget to enter that promo code LOCKEDON at signup for an instant deposit match up to $100. The Bears keep ending up on the losing end of these late game scenarios where, you know, they have a lead. They may end up blowing the lead, or maybe are coming back for the course of the game and Justin Fields has a chance to drive down and win these games, and they haven't been able to. And the way that's framed is always Justin Fields has a chance to drive down late in these games to win and doesn't. That's how we think of narratives and game flow. It's always, okay, Justin Fields has the ball. What can he do with it to try and drive and win this game? And I think it's important that we recognize 21 other players involved in that process, and really more when you add in special teams being there, and that people are going to be quick to say, well, Justin Fields can't win these games or can't finish these games. And it's a true statement that, yes, Justin Fields is not finishing these games with a victory. And when these games have hit zero, the Bears are not winning. And Justin Fields has had the offense with the ball with an opportunity to score and try and win these games and has been unable to do so. But I just think the framing and the way we talk about it always makes it seem like it's only Justin Fields, and that when they don't win, it's only Justin Fields' fault. Certainly if they did win, most of the credit would go to Justin Fields. And a lot of that's the nature of the beast in how we talk about the NFL. But I think there's two separate big points here. One, your defense gave up 18 points in the fourth quarter. Was it, 19 points? Let me double check. 18 points in the fourth quarter to make it a 28-19 defeat. Giving up 18 points in the fourth quarter is not an acceptable defensive performance. And if they stop Aaron Rodgers on, you know, certainly if they stop Christian Watson on that touchdown play there, right, for example, right, it changes so many of the different dynamics of this game. It's not to say that that instantly wins, but the defense plays a role in this. The special teams plays a role in this. Cairo Santos has a missed PAT and a blocked field goal. The blocked field goal, not specifically Cairo's fault, but the field goal unit, right, left 4 points on the board. 4 points would not have won the Bears this game, but 4 points makes it so that if Green Bay settles for that field goal to make it 20-19, instead it would be the Bears would have had 23 points. So does Green Bay have to go for it there? Do they take the field goal and are still down 3 more points? You know, it changes so many different dynamics of this game. There's also Equanimeous St. Brown contributing to Justin Fields' interception on that second-to-last drive of the Bears' offense. That's not on Justin Fields, or certainly not alone Justin Fields' responsibility. It's his team, and it's his narrative, and I understand that, but it's not all on Justin Fields. And the other aspect of this is that Justin Fields is a lot of the reason they're even close at the end in the first place. And it feels to me like when the narrative, when the story of the game is, oh, or the story of multiple games is, oh, Justin Fields couldn't lead the team to get it done at the end of the fourth quarter, that erases the monumental amount of work Justin Fields had to do to get them to that point in the fourth quarter to be able to have a chance to drive down and win this game. And that so often now, it's the last drive of the game that many people seem to be making the referendum on fields of like, oh, he's not able to win these games. And that last drive completely ignoring, or at the very least overshadowing and outweighing the 4, 5, 6, 7 previous drives that got them in that position to do so, that got them 19 points up to that point, that got them, you know, a lead at halftime, a lead in the first quarter, a lead through the second quarter, and a lead through the third quarter, that had them leading for three quarters. And yes, the outcome is the most important thing. And being able to finish these games is inherently the most important of the drives. But when you're trying to take a big picture evaluation of Justin Fields, I don't think you can look at those drives and say that's the problem without at least acknowledging clearly and fully how many good things he did in the lead up to that. And that's why the podcast today is structured that way, right? We talked about how, first, we talked about how effective and efficient he was as a passer in a way that we haven't seen this level of over the course of the season. Because I think where the Bears are now in the context of the team, that's more important. Winning this game was not as important as Justin Fields continuing to develop as a passer. And I think, to circle back to the point of there being teammates involved in this process, the Bears' inability to close these games with victories feels to me like a reflection of the overall level of talent. That's why the team breaks down in the fourth quarter, because they're just not that good. They're not consistent enough to be a good defense for four quarters and to be a good offense for four quarters. They have young talent that can do it for a few quarters, that can step up and make plays here and there and for stretches of the game. But they're not experienced and talented enough to do it for four quarters consistently, to do it at the end of that game after having done it over the course of the game. It shows that they're capable, but they're not consistent enough yet at being able to finish that. Some of that is Justin Fields. This is not to say that there's no blame for Fields when they're not able to win these games. But the bigger picture for me is there's no concern at this stage. If Fields had good receivers and a good offensive line and a good defense, and he's blowing these fourth quarters by making a dumb interception or a dumb fumble or a dumb decision here or there, like clearly like everything has been laid out for him and he's messing it up individually, that's when you can start to be concerned. But when he's overcoming obstacles in many individual singular ways, single-handedly breaking tackles and rushing for a 55-yard touchdown with some good blocks from wide receivers on that play, but shouldering so much of the load for himself for 3.5 quarters, that's so much more important than not being able to finish these final drives of these games, because it's reasonable to expect that will come as he gets just a little bit more help when those expectations can be reasonable. I don't think it's reasonable to expect Justin Fields to shoulder this team for a full four quarters and win every game like that. I just don't think with the supporting cast that he has now, it's not fully reasonable to expect that. When you get a better team around him, that's when you should start expecting that. And if he starts falling short of those expectations, that's when you can have the conversation about concern. But that's not the conversation to be had right now. It's not the conversation the Bears are going to be having during this bye week coming up. And even though the Bears are off this upcoming weekend, you can be sure the Locked On Bears podcast won't be. So make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts or on the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Thanks for making the Locked On Bears podcast your first listen today and hopefully every single day. If you're looking for your second listen, make sure you check out Locked On Sports Today. Here on the Locked On Podcast Network, we are your team every day. And Locked On Sports Today is all the biggest stories in sports, big game recaps, instant reactions, the important takes, the important storylines, all wrapped up in 30 minutes or less, wherever you get your podcast. So go check out Locked On Sports Today. Then come on back tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Bears. And of course, you have to come back for your next opportunity to bear down.